Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Just met with Joe Arlinghouse, a mover and shaker, a pro-lifer from Northern Colorado. Just quick story about Joe. A liberal Jew met him, and they hit it off, and he gave him a book. It's about, what, a 700-page book, a biography of William Lloyd Garrison called All on Fire, America's number one abolitionist in the 1800s. And so this liberal Jew gives this book to a conservative Catholic, and Joe Arlinghouse reads the book and is so moved by it, he gives it to me, a right-wing fundamentalist Bible preacher, and now I'm reading it, and it's just a stunning book. There's a summary of it on American Right to Life's website. Just go there and look for Garrison right on the homepage. Click on the link, and you'll save yourself the time of reading a 700-page book. You could read a 2-page article and get the gist. It's just a powerful, powerful book. You stand on principles, and eventually, if you're standing on the truth, eventually you win, because the truth wins, because God is the truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. All right. On Thursday, there is going to be a protest in Durango, Colorado, 6.5 hours from Denver. And, hey, are you going to go? I'm going. Guabe Garcia Jones, the director of Personhood Colorado, was on the show about 10 days ago. He told us about it, an abortionist who has privileges at a Catholic hospital in Durango, a great crisis and tragedy. Therefore, there will be a protest there. It's on Thursday at noon, starts at a ministry called Lifeguard, and then heads over to Mercy Hospital. And Lila Rose will be there heading it up. Personhood Colorado will be there, Colorado Right to Life. If there's any way you can make it to Durango, come on over there Thursday at noon. I know I'm leaving with our boys early Thursday morning, about 4 a.m. We'll come back on Friday. And Doug McBurney and Greg Jackson have agreed to fill in for me on Thursday. What an honor to have them in studio. So if you can make it, Lila Rose is going to be there. Now, Guabe Garcia Jones, he's in Mexico City right now on a pro-life mission. Lord willing, he'll be there in Durango also. Hopefully Keith Mason. So come on out if you can join us. Maybe if you want to carpool with somebody, you could try calling Personhood Colorado, 456-2800, 303-456-2800. I think they've already filled up the seats that they had available. But, hey, we'll let you know how it goes. Then also, we got the debt deal, right? The debt deal is done. Isn't it wonderful what we got? We got a balanced budget amendment commitment. We got major cuts for the rest of this Congress term for 2012. I'm being corrected by my producer. We didn't get those things. We didn't get major cuts right away for 2012. What we got is business as usual. Come on, that can't be. I have the report right here from the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, and they're telling me, you know, our debt is $14 trillion. $14 trillion. And so this deal that the Republicans struck with Barack Obama, this deal is going to help save our country from financial ruin. What is the CBO? Oh, boy. This can't be true. Is this biased of the CBO? They're supposed to be a nonpartisan, the Congressional Budgeting Office, to give us the true skinny, give us the actual bottom line of federal legislation. They're saying that with this deal, with this debt deal that applies for the next 10 years, that even with the deal, our debt will increase by 5 $5 trillion. Another $5 trillion? You mean we're going to be at $20 trillion of debt 10 years from now? $20 trillion? And that's where we're going to be. And that's if the debt deal works perfectly. And how many times does it work perfectly when Congress says, we're not going to cut spending during our own term, we're going to cut spending during future terms? You know how many times that's worked? Never. And you know what the likelihood of it working? We checked with Russell Holmes Consulting up in Fairbanks, Alaska, and they told us, in fact, they certified their estimate that there is a 0% likelihood, 0% that the cost cutting that's mandated on future Congresses by this cowardly bill, that it'll actually happen. 0%. So with a 0% likelihood that the bill will work as it's designed, 0% likelihood, we'll still have $5 trillion in more debt. But that's with a 0% likelihood that it'll work that well. Probably things will be worse than they would have without the bill, probably. Who knows how that could happen? I don't know, but that's how it works every time. There is, though, good news with this. The good news is the 24/7 obsessive reporting by the cable news networks on the debt deal, the debt ceiling. The good thing is that that programming has now slowed up to a trickle. It'll be reported on less and less. That's the only good news. But people are addicted the way people have been addicted to soap operas and General Hospital as the world turns. All right. Now, we're going to go to the phones. 1-800-8-NYART. 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278. By the way, that phone number is the same for calling into the show to ask questions or comments about any of the topics we cover here at Bob and Yurt Live, regarding the Bible and creation, evolution, economics, history, science, just so many fun things to talk about, morality, ethics. So that number is good for calling into the radio program, or if you'd like to order our plot, My Life's Work, a Bible study, an overview of the whole Bible, or our wonderful creation, evolution materials, DVDs, and so many of our verse-by-verse Bible studies of the books of the Bible, like Esther. And do you know what the Song of Songs is about? Do you know what that is about? What a fascinating story. And the book of Job, and so on, through the books of the Bible. My favorites were the books of Romans and Galatians. And then, wow, Genesis. What an extraordinary Bible study. So 1-800-8-NYART. We got somebody right now. Derek from Louisiana. Derek, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing real well, sir. How are you? What's up?
Hey, just to let you know, I'm a previous caller to your show. Been quite a while since I had heard from you, actually since I've been on your show. So Thanks for having me.
Sure thing. When did you call in last time, Derek?
Oh man, I got to say several years ago. I think about that time your show was on the station here locally.
All right.
And yeah.
Sure. We were on Channel 20 on TV in New Orleans for some years.
Right.
Maybe 4 years or so. For a while, we were on, I believe, a radio station, WSHO, it might have been.
Okay.
But yeah, go ahead. So what's up, Derek?
Okay. Well, I don't even know how hardly where to begin. I just want to start off by just saying I guess what I'm dealing with is a topic on homosexuality, and the reason is it's almost in the forefront here with me because, I mean, I live in the New Orleans metropolitan area.
All right.
And it's literally an epidemic. I mean, it's really bad, particularly amongst women here. I'm not to say they don't men homosexuals here, and there's
right.
plenty of them.
Particularly among women, and especially young women, and beginning in middle school, high school, and our college campuses, we've been reporting on Bob and Yurt Live for 20 years that it is an epidemic of young women who are experiencing, practicing, or living a, you know, an all-out lesbian or bisexual lifestyle, so much so that we had a professor from a college in New Orleans call into the show and say, Bob, I'm not a Christian. I think homosexuality is okay, but I want to tell you what happened to my son. He went to college, and he's telling me that he has not yet met a girl who's not lesbian or bisexual.
Correct.
So that was her testimony from a non-Christian. And so she said, what's going on in our country?
Yes. So as my story goes, I've been having to deal with it really right up in my face because my daughter, who was raised in a church, raised at my church especially, which is more especially to me is heartbreaking, and was homeschooled. I guess once she had come of age, I mean, she got caught up out there in the world and what's going on out there, and she is a lesbian to this day.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
It's tragic.
How old is she?
She's 22 years old.
She's 22 years old.
Yes. We have asked her to repent. As of today, she has refused. Therefore, we're not in fellowship. We've had to disfellowship with her completely.
Well, I'd like to share some thoughts on that and some biblical principles, Derek. But first, how long was she homeschooled for?
Pretty much most of her life, her school life. We took her out of the public school system at about third grade, and then we homeschooled her all the way up until about ninth grade. Okay, then she went to a private Christian school, which it repents me to no end that we even let her go there.
So many families have said that the Christian school is the same as the public school regarding the drug use and sexual immorality. It is extremely difficult to get a lot of young people together and have administrators who have the wisdom, the courage, and the strength to overcome the flesh, the sinfulness of the student body.
Right.
It is extremely difficult when you have dozens or scores or hundreds of young people and teenagers. Each one of them has within them what the Bible describes as the flesh, and that flesh is relentless, pulling them downward with temptations to sin, to hurt themselves and their friends. So somehow, if you're going to have a good Christian school, you have to overcome all of that. And that is, I mean, it's almost impossible.
Right.
It seems to be. So I'm very sorry to hear all this, of course, Derek.
Yeah, it's tragic. So actually, there's light to the end of this story. We've been fighting it on the forefront here. My wife is dealing with it on her job. A couple of, I should say, well, one in particular, a co-worker of hers, but actually she's a manager there at a local grocery store here, and she's been dealing with a subordinate of hers that's a left. Now, when I say lesbian, I mean these women, which my daughter took on that particular persona, if you want to call it that. They dress like a man, look like a man, carry themselves like men.
Well, in New York State, the legislature decriminalized or legitimized homosexual marriage, and one of the first weddings that took place was two women, and the one woman was dressed in a dress, a wedding dress, and the other woman was dressed in a tuxedo. So what that shows us is even in their rebellion against God, they are acknowledging that he made us male and female. Even in their rebellion, they have one woman and one guy. So many homosexual couples, they have who's the guy and who's the woman. Why is that? Why don't they all have two women and two guys? But even in their rebellion against God, they're affirming the truth because the truth always wins.
Right.
The truth is that God made us male and female.
Correct. Okay, so as the story goes, my wife we're almost called to have to deal with this because it's been right so right in our face. I'd like to share with you my story in particular, which is the bigger reason why I called, because it's a wonderful, wonderful story of a lady who was homosexual. Actually, she's a co-worker of mine.
All right.
Now, again, I'm not gonna use her name in particular.
That's wise, and especially if you're still working, because these days homosexuals will have someone fired from major corporations, from government jobs, if they find out that you disapprove of homosexuality.
Correct.
That's how tolerant and loving they are and beautiful.
Right.
Right. Free speech, right. Tolerance, and diversity, that's what they're all about.
Now, I did get her permission to tell her story. Actually, she's going to be tuning in. I hope that she eventually calls in and lets you know who she is.
Wow. Very good, Derek.
We're going to use a code name, Emma. We're going to call her Emma.
All right, okay? Emma.
Okay, Emma. I guess I can go as far as to tell you I'm a police officer, a sheriff with a particular sheriff's department here locally in the New Orleans metropolitan area. I came to know her because I work with her just from me, you know, associating with her, knowing her because I work with her. I come to find that she was a lesbian. Okay. She was married, and consequently, that marriage ended because of what she was doing.
I should say it was
a contributing part. She destroyed her marriage.
I'm so sorry to hear all this.
I had an opportunity. God gave me an opportunity to minister to her. So I had been ministering to her for months. Right? Actually, at one point, she was moved to another division within our department, so I kind of had lost contact with her. But God, in his mercy and his grace, brought her right back to me. And believe me, he used a series of circumstances.
All right.
That led her back.
And so by ministering to her, you're sharing with her the truth of God's word, God's principles, God is our creator, the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is how you're ministering to her.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. And so that went on for a while. Didn't go over very well in the beginning, but I continued just sharing the love of Christ with her, and eventually she got saved.
Oh, wow.
She came to the Lord.
Emma, good for you.
Yes, I was. God gave me the opportunity to bring her to Christ. Not only that, God set her free from all desire to want women,
sexually or
intimately.
Wow.
Okay.
And hey, Derek, this story is told by the saints 10,000 times over, where people have addictions to immorality. And they become Christians. And it's not as though salvation is a magic card that saves you from all struggles, but God does empower us to overcome the destructive behavior in our lives.
Correct.
Wow.
Not only that, I've pretty much been discipling her since then, which has now been about 4 months. She's now a regular attendee at our church, which I'm sure you are familiar with, at White Dove Fellowship.
White Dove? Now, I remember Pastor Michael Mille.
That's my pastor, correct.
Oh, he is the best.
Yeah.
You know, I had the honor of speaking at your church,
Derek. I was there.
You were there. Come on. So we're all friends.
Yes. That's why I told you. That's where I first met you.
And my wife Cheryl was there also.
Okay.
Yeah, super.
Yeah. Matter of fact, you had the old computer there, Al. Remember that guy?
Yeah, Al's still here. Al the Seventh and Al the Pops.
Okay. Well, yeah. So, you know, she's a regular attendee there now. But she has a dilemma. You know, she's going to tune in, and I hope that you can help her with this.
Well, let's try, and we're going to run out of time pretty soon, so let's say it more quickly.
Okay. She still lives with the partner that she was intimate with.
Why is that?
Well, this is her dilemma. She actually, they bought a home together, okay?
Mm.
And so now she's been witnessing to the once partner she had, so you can imagine the persecution she's going through. Mm. So she knows she needs to get out of that situation, but she doesn't really know how to yet.
Right.
Okay, because their finances are tied together, the They bought a condo together, you know.
You know, the Bible warns us against being entangled.
Correct.
Don't be entangled with the yoke of bondage. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits. So what we have here is Emma has entangled her life based on an immoral relationship. Obviously, like I said before, the word magic, there's no magic wand to disentangle herself from this situation. But if there's any way, she can ask God for wisdom to find a way to buy out her partner, you know, now just her financial partner. When one person wants to end a partnership, then the way they do it is they write an amount on a piece of paper. And then the other partner gets to decide, okay, I'll either sell you my share for that amount, or I will let you pay me that amount for your share. So the other partner who doesn't want out of a financial transaction, they're the one who gets to choose whether to stay or go.
Okay.
Anyway, that's the way to do it when the partners disagree, if there is a way to go.
Correct.
And if I were her, I would ask God to help me if there's any way humanly possible to get out of this arrangement.
Correct.
Beyond that, there is no magic bullet of how to solve the dilemma.
Correct.
Derek, I have some thought I'd like to share with you regarding your daughter.
Okay. Oh, just one other thing,
yeah.
I want to add. I did give her a copy of, because she's trying to witness to this other partner. And so she didn't, by her being new in the faith, she didn't really know exactly how, what the things, because she was throwing questions at her.
And, yeah, right, sure.
So I gave her your tape, a copy of your video, Terry's Call.
Terry's Call, Terry, beautiful Terry from Knoxville, Tennessee,
yes.
The homosexual who became a believer.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I gave her a copy of that. That really helped her immensely, but quite naturally, she can't get the other party in this to look at it.
Oh, too bad, right?
So, yeah.
Well, I'm glad that she was encouraged by that. We have that on our store at kgov.com in the video department. It's a very encouraging tool for people to realize that homosexuals can become believers and be delivered.
Yes. So what were you going to tell me earlier?
About your daughter.
Yes. She's my stepdaughter, actually.
Okay. Derek, you are familiar with God's word, obviously. You could mentor other people and disciple them.
Yes.
But sometimes we take things, we confuse principles. It's not hard to do. And in the scriptures, God provides standards for interaction and fellowship and what's acceptable or not acceptable.
Okay.
And I think many families who want to do the right thing, they take principles for running a church, and they assume that those principles must also apply for running a government, an army, a business, or a family.
Okay.
And that's not true. These are different spheres that God has authorized, and He has given these different responsibilities. A church cannot function with members who are homosexual, who are members in good standing at the church.
Okay.
It cannot function. That destroys the church.
Right.
But that doesn't mean, like Paul said, if there's someone sexually immoral, don't even eat with them.
Correct.
But he said, but I don't mean the sexually immoral people of the world, because then you'd have to go out of the world. Because
right.
The world is sexually immoral, and right. We conduct business, we have neighbors, we have families, extended families, our children have friends. So the behavior at church is different from these different spheres.
Okay.
Well, I think the Bible does not teach that if you have a family member who is openly fornicating, shacking up, committing homosexuality, that you cannot ever fellowship with them or eat with them. The wise Christian approach is to say to my cousin, my son, my mother, whoever, because of your sin, you are hurting yourself and you're hurting our relationship. Our relationship cannot be wonderful like I want it to be, and so we're hurt. But I would refrain from making a grand pronouncement such as, until you repent, we will not see you at family functions. If I were to invite a relative who is a homosexual, say to a wedding, I would not invite the partner. If a homosexual relative is going to a wedding or a family reunion, I would not let that prevent me from bringing my children to that family reunion. Because what happens is the family that loves the Lord is the one that gets punished. And the rest of the family turns against the Christian. Absolutely. So I think that's a misapplication of a very important biblical principle, and we need to figure out, how does it apply to church? How does it apply to family? Derek, we're out of time. God bless you.
Thank you.